podcast episode. Very excited about this guest. Alyssa Amoroso is a podcaster. She's also, you know, obsessed with pop culture like I am. And she is the host of a podcast called Tea with Publicity. I love the play on words. But she actually also has a great story of careers, highs and lows. And you may have seen her. She was with Barstool Sports for a long time, about a year and a half. I think that's a long time. And she just recently exited. So Alyssa is talking about following your intuition, your career, positive body image. She's on her own mindful eating journey. And then also we get to throw in some of our favorite reality shows. So if you haven't been turned on to this awesome podcaster, here's Alyssa. I am so excited about having you on, Alyssa, because I got turned on to you from our love of Andrea Lopez. Like, Andrea Lopez.
She's an app.
I know. Can we talk about Andrea Lopez for a minute? She's so great.
We went out to dinner last week or the week before, and when the bill came, she was like, my treat. And I'm like, what am I? Like, I felt like I was on a date with her. I was like, oh my God, thank you so much. And she was like, we're celebrating you. I'm like, you are such a good, like, girlfriend. Like, who does that?
Well, just wait. She is like one of the most generous human beings. Just genuinely kind and, you know, roots for you and everything. So I'm so glad she's come into your life too.
She's so sweet.
She's one of my great friends. By the way, when did you first hear Andrea's? Because I'm assuming you must have heard that famous Kourtney Kardashian impression. When did you first see or hear about Andrea?
I'm trying to think like how and why we connected. I think I saw her Kourtney Kardashian impressions blowing up. And you know when you like see someone and they're funny, so you click their profile and it says follow back?
Yes.
I was like, oh my God, the Kourtney Kardashian girl follows me. So it was like one of those funny things.
She loves you. She would, we listened to your podcast like back in the day, you know, because Andrea and I met because I had a podcast show in DC. She'd moved back to help out her parents. She just cold emailed me and she's like, I just left Syracuse. I left a radio station. I used to listen to your radio show in high school. Could I come and intern for you? Like she literally started as an intern. I didn't even know she could do one fucking impression.
Wow.
She came in. I was like, we fell in love like the first day. She was like one of the hardest working people that I ever worked with. And then she's like, oh, by the way, I do these impressions. And I'm like, okay, you cannot, like, you're only going to be an intern here.
Yeah.
I mean, like, this is like, why are you here? You should be impressioning. But anyway, we were like dear friends. She was doing impressions and helping me and working for me for like 3 years. And then everything like popped off. So it's great. I love that. But anyway, we listened to your publicity podcast for years, and then now you're here. And I am so excited to share you with the Sarah Fraser Show listeners. So,
oh my God, thank you.
Okay, let's start at the beginning. You started your career as a publicist.
Yes, so I'm 31. I feel like most of the people that I see now, like, coming up in the industry are like 24, so they don't have that much of like a journey to share. But my journey has been like long. It's been about 10 years at this point. So I've had so many like ins and outs of my careers and different paths, and it's just like crazy. I can go on forever. But yes, I started as a publicist in 2013, and I was like one of those crazy people in college who had 9 million internships. Like I literally had 9 internships in college. And by the time I graduated, I really wanted to work in entertainment. So I became an entertainment publicist. And then I did that I was an entertainment publicist for like a year, and then I got out of there, and then I went to another place, and I was there, and I worked with like rappers and athletes and did events, and then I left that, and then I went to the consumer side of PR because I was like, okay, it's cool that I'm like with rappers, but I'm not making any money, and it looks cooler than it actually is.
Oh, I feel like that was radio to some extent. Like you were always like at meeting, like doing a meet and greet with Rihanna, but it was like, I've been up since 3:30 in the morning.
Yes.
I'm hanging on by a thread. Like at this point, I wish Rihanna well, but I don't even care. Like I just want to go home. Like
yes, it's like people would see my Instagram back in like 2014 and I'm posting at like an event with Beyonce and Jay-Z. But like what people don't know is that I'm working the door. Like, I'm the girl with the clipboard in the black outfit at the door, like, denying people and letting them in. And it's like, I've always had this concept, like, I'm going to write a book one day. And I'm like, I want to make a concept, like, door girl. Like, your life looks, like, fabulous to, like, the public. But meanwhile, it's, like, 30 in New York and you're, like, shivering.
Oh, my God. What was the biggest takeaway of being a publicist? Like, obviously, you got to work with great celebrities. And was it like, don't treat people around you like shit? Like, did all the celebrities like treat people like shit?
It wasn't actually even the celebrities. It was like the women I worked with, which is like really sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because like, I actually never worked with men in my life until this past year, which I was 31 or 30 years old when I first worked with a man that wasn't gay.
Wow.
I always worked with women, and like, it was truly the devil wears Prada.
You're kidding. So none of them were so like, wow.
I'm not even kidding. Like, I'm saying it so deadpan. You're like, are you serious?
Well, you must have been so traumatized. Like, I mean,
I think it shaped who I am as a worker, but it also made me maybe a different type of worker. Like, even when I started working again this past year at a company, I was very much in the mindset of like, don't ask questions, just do it. Like, you can't ask anyone. You have to be a self-starter. You need to be resourceful. Like, I never rely on other people because I was like, it was hammered into my head. If you asked one question, they would like belittle you. So I almost work so independently of anything. Wow. Really, really resilient. Like, really resilient.
Okay, so tell us, like, the trajectory of your career. So you start out, you're a publicist. You're, like, working events where Jay-Z and Beyonce are at and other rappers. Okay, then you leave that industry. I mean, at some point, right, you're, like, contributing for Allure magazine. You're becoming your own influencer, right? Like,
yeah.
And then you end up launching your podcast. But how long were you, like, working for other women?
So I always had some kind of blog, like just always. I don't know. I'm a really creative person. I always had some kind of outlet. Like in college, I wrote for College Fashionista. So I would go like on campus and take pictures of people in their fashion and write columns about what people are wearing on campus. And then I launched a blog called Alyssa PR, where I gave people tips on how to land an internship and what to wear and what to pack in your bag. And like, I just always had something. I had a million websites all the time. When I started working in PR, I was too busy. That kind of fell to the wayside. And I would post like cool shit on Instagram, but it was literally just like me with athletes. It wasn't anything influencer-y. I wasn't like giving product recommendations. And then I switched. My first jobs were in entertainment, my first two jobs. And then I switched to consumer PR. And then that's when like everything shifted in the industry and in my life. It's when brands started tapping influencers and not just for gifting, we started paying influencers. So I was on the PR side hiring influencers for $40,000, $50,000 campaigns. And I was like, what the heck? I did this in college. Like, why am I not doing this anymore? So I started a brand, one, business-minded, and two, I needed a hobby. I was like, I need something outside of work to do.
Okay.
So I started while I was in PR.
All right. And so what, because you like really became like, I knew you too, even like before, I mean, you'd had the podcast, but really like your Instagram following, right? So, I mean, you kind of rode that huge Instagram wave of getting like thousands of followers from posting your influencer life. So when did, like, what year did you start really like utilizing like Instagram?
So it was 2015 or 2016 is when I launched Publicity.
Okay, got it.
So I was in PR. I looked at my friend one day and I was like, I'm going to launch a blog. And she was like, okay. The next day I had the domain, like publicity.com. And I just started. It was so interesting because I don't know what clicked inside of me, but from the moment I started, I never stopped. And even though I wasn't like making money off of it, I was so consistent. Like, I don't know what in me even drove me to do that when I wasn't making money, but I think I saw the earning potential. Whereas a lot of people start blogs back in the day, not anymore, but they start it and they're like, I didn't even mean to get followers. I was just talking about what I loved and they came to me. It's like, no, I strategically
I want followers. Yes. Thank you, girl. Yes. I mean, that's like I started my podcast. My podcast is going on. It'll be like 6 years.
Yeah.
And I'm like the whole time I'm like, I'm going to make money off this shit. Like, I don't want to do this for free. Yeah.
But at the same time, I would say now, like in hindsight, all these years later, like I love my community so much that I would do it for free. But back then I didn't have a community. I didn't care.
Yeah.
Like it was just also my community in recent years is very different than my community in 2016, because then it was pretty curated pictures on Instagram. It wasn't until TikTok really launched and people got to know me better, but we still have years until I even get there. So just long story short, launched the blog, start getting paid partnerships while I'm still working in PR for 2 years. So I had two jobs going for 2 years because I wasn't making enough off Instagram to like quit my job in PR yet.
Got it.
So when I reached about 100,000 followers on Instagram and I had like $20,000 saved, I quit my job.
And became full-time influencer.
Full-time influencer. And that's where I launched my OG podcast called The Publicity Podcast. And I started selling merch. So that I did for about 2 years. And then during the pandemic, I was like feeling like talking about pop culture wasn't really fulfilling me.
Yeah.
Because I was just like, you know, I was on this like spiritual journey. The world was shut down. I was like, what the heck is happening? And why am I talking about like Khloe Kardashian when I'm like struggling right now? So I stopped the podcast. I halted it. And at that time, I was kind of gaining some traction on TikTok for talking about mid-sized fashion and just sharing my day and sharing my family. And so I pitched a podcast concept to Dave Portnoy. And then that's when I got my most recent job at Barstool. And that's where I rebranded to Tea with Publicity. And that's where I made that shift from just pop culture to now I talk about pop culture, but I do it in a segment versus it leading the entire show.
I love that story for people that don't know this. I mean, you literally just like slid in Dave's DMs, right? And I mean, mm-hmm. you essentially said, I loved the start line, but it was like, you know, hear me out. I mm-hmm. want, you know, I want to pitch to you kind of this real podcast about your body image and like just everything that was going on with you personally, which yeah. was something that was so different from Barstool. When you messaged Dave, I mean, did you know anyone at Barstool before? Had you ever interacted with them?
Not really, but like I was feeling really spiritual, which is so weird because before
I want to ask you about this too. I love your manifest.
The pandemic, yeah, I wasn't that spiritual necessarily.
Okay.
But I was having this like midlife crisis where it was in a pandemic. I was turning 30. I was moving into an apartment for the first time ever in my life. So I saw a psychic and I really started being open, not even a psychic, like a medium who I really trusted because it came through a friend who had lost someone and like she really had gotten great signs. And I was just getting really open to this like notion that there's like spirits and they're around us in the universe and this and that. And I started becoming this like woo-woo girl, which I still am. And I went to the medium and, you know, after I talked to all the dead people,
it was like, I connected with all my dead relatives, like everyone dead. And yeah. then, okay.
After I connected with all my guardian angels, he said something to me. He was like, something is like blowing up in your career right now. And I was going viral on TikTok and I gained like 250,000 followers overnight.
Wow.
And he was like, something's blowing up and like, it's just at the like, it's coming to a climax and like it hasn't even burst yet. Like something really big is on the horizon. And he's like, I feel it. Like I can't even like explain it to you. Like I just like, I feel this thing is coming. And like, it was like 2 weeks later where I was sitting on my couch right here behind me. And I was like, I'm just going to pitch Dave. Like, I don't know why. And I just knew he would answer. Like I had this like divine feeling. Like I was like, he's going to answer because I'm right. Like my pitch makes sense and it's strong and he's going to know I'm right because I am. Like, and I literally said, like, you don't have anyone like me on your network, blah, blah, blah. The the thing that I want to preface this with for your listeners that don't know me is I'm not with Barstool anymore. I think I don't want that to like define my career because it was only a year and a half of this like 10-year career.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people get really hung up on my time there. But for me, it did what I needed it to do. For me, I don't know if it did what they needed it to do for them because I was really only there for a year and a half. But for me, like, it helped me really grow my audience. It helped me build like my community, the Tea Tribe, do some live shows. And I'm just like thankful for that time. And now I feel like I'm on to my next thing where I'm having my next spiritual awakening.
On to the next. I know. I mean, it was huge that you were picked up. I mean, it was like, that was a big thing. And I want, you know, how were the Barstool, because, you know, the stoolies are like a whole thing, you know? Yeah. I mean, were they immediately welcoming? Were they like, well, who's this chick? I mean, you know, and it was hard because you were not a sports, you know, it's hard. That is sort of their cornerstone thing is sports, you know? So it's like, you came in, you know, you have your own brand, your own show. But how did the stoolies accept you? Were they like, all right, we're down?
I don't think they did. I had to, you know, I have my Twitter notifications muted. I don't read Reddit. I would blog sometimes and then I would have to delete it because, you know, people would be saying how ugly and fat and disgusting I am. And like, I'm just like, I couldn't, for me, it's like out of sight, out of mind. So I just didn't look. I didn't have any notifications on for anything. So for me, I've been living like this gorgeous life of bliss where it doesn't matter because really what I set out to do there, which I accomplished, was to have a female audience. So I knew like I couldn't let these like men in the middle of nowhere like stop me from moving forward. So what I did was like my audience is 90% women.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. And the women see me, know me, relate to me, and like they're lovely, like so lovely. So it was more just like, I don't know if, I think that's maybe what didn't mix because I wasn't like talking about like sex and salacious things, but that's, I mean, it's fine. Like,
yeah,
I wasn't trying to reach those people.
Right, right. You were trying, you know, you were being you, they were trying something new. And, you know, yeah, I mean, you know, you have to try different things. And I think it was such a great pivot for you to do it because why not? You know, I mean, see if it works, see if it's stuck. Yeah. And well, so what was for you the biggest takeaway of working there? Like, what? Because I do think, like, I love looking back at all the work experience. I'm like, oh my God, it all makes sense. Like, it all kind of makes you ready for the next step, ready and ready, you know? So what do you think some of the biggest lessons were that you took away from your time at Barstool?
I think I'll never work for someone else again in my life, which I kind of, and that's not even any shade to them.
I know.
I said going in, before I worked there, I was like, I will never work for someone else. I'm like a born entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And I knew against my own like integrity and gut that it was like a really like big risk for me, but it was one I was willing to take knowing it would help me, and it did. So like, I don't regret it. I think it was amazing. I loved my coworkers. I had nothing but good things to say, but I just think my life, I'm the kind of person through anything in life, like all my experiences, even the awful PR things, like I kind of learned the hard way sometimes. I like to take risks. Like, I'm really, really a risk taker. I love trying things new. I love switching things up. And I think the lesson is just keep evolving. Like, I just don't think you should ever be complacent and just always keep reaching for the next thing. Like, I knew in going there, I was only going to go 2 years. I knew it was very much a stepping stone for me. I knew I wasn't a lifer, you know, like I was like, okay, I'll do this for 2 years and then I'll continue on with my life. But it's perfect. And now I feel like I'm back at that place that I was in like 2020, where all these like signs and things are coming to me. And I feel like I'm in such a great career place and like I'm reaching the next level even more. So I'm like just excited. Like I like the journey.
And by the way, like if people want to hear the full story, you do this really great podcast that was out like 2 weeks ago, maybe a little longer.
Oh, yes.
all about really kind of what happened. You go into great detail. I mean, it's really what you're saying here, but you know, you kind of talk more about the evolution and, you know, some of the restrictions that were there. I think all of us, anybody that's worked for a big company knows there's so many things you can't do, you know, when you're mm-hmm. there, you can't do certain things, can't post about things. So, you know, people should listen to that because it's great. And I could just relate so much as someone that worked for iHeartRadio and just felt so stifled at times and like, oh, I just want to work for myself and be able to, have on any guest I want and do everything. And not that I'm saying that was your situation, but anyway, you did a great podcast about that.
Thank you.
So now wait, can you keep the name T with publicity or did Barstool own that and you're rebranding?
They were supposed to, but they gave it to me, which is very nice. So I'm keeping the name. I'm keeping everything. Everything's mine, which is fantastic. I think part of that is my name's in the name. So no one else could fill the shoes of publicity because it has my nickname in the name. But also, you know, it was mutual. Like we really just both felt like it just wasn't working. And so I keep everything, which is amazing. The podcast hasn't missed a beat. I am now doing a lot of, I mean, I was doing most of this when I was there, but like I am the producer, the video editor, the audio editor. I do the social clips. I run my finances. I do my marketing. I get my own guests. I do my merch. Like I am like a one woman show. And I'm so fortunate because I have some really like great opportunities coming and now I'll be able to, I'm in this amazing place right now where before I felt like I was chasing down managers and I was chasing down people and now things are coming to me. And first of all, it feels nice, but also it's a lot of decisions to be made. So I'm trying to decide, will I sign with another network? Will I keep things in house and just create my own like women's brand? I don't know. I don't know what the answers are, but I'm really just like, I'm really trying to be chill about things. And I think I'm doing like an okay job.
Yeah. I think that, I mean, sounds like you're really knowing yourself and who you are and what you want, which is like where we all strive to be, you know? So that's a good place.
Just years of therapy.
Therapy and some psychics, some mediums, that helps.
Oh my God.
All right. Well, I want to switch gears because you have done a lot of personal work and I love hearing about what you do to manifest things and then also your own body image issues. So, you know, I was telling you before we started, I lost 60 pounds like mindful eating. And when you were talking about comments from the stoolies, I mean, you know, working in DC for years on radio and then TV, people would write to me the craziest stuff. I mean, they'd just be like, look, you'd be so much hotter if you lost 20 pounds. They'd be like, you know, I didn't realize that they would put Santa Claus. Like I wore this like big belt one time and some guy wrote to me and he was like, I didn't realize they put like Santa Claus on TV like in June or something. Anyway, I would be so devastated by these. I was like, how am I going to continue to work in the entertainment business? Because people are always going to have comments about you, your weight, your age, everything. So I ended up finding this mindful eating therapist that was all about giving up dieting and, you know, working on yourself. She totally changed my life. So I'm curious, did you always have like great self-esteem? Did you? And I struggled with my weight since I was like 5 years old. So tell me about your mindful eating journey and mindfulness.
I think my story is so different than most people because most people are like, I was like a chubby kid and then I was like lost all this weight. Mine was the opposite. I was like this like confident, cute kid who then put on weight later in life. And like, some of that was because I had intolerances and allergies and stuff I was unaware of. Some of it was like I got into like this weird like depression for a year, which I'd never had depression in my life. And like to this day, I still don't even know like why or what. Like I don't know if it was like my environment or it was just bizarre. But like that had happened, like all of these weird things. And then
Are you trying to lose weight and keep it off for good? If you were like me, I have done every fad diet under the sun, and I started dieting when I was just 12 years old. I gained and lost 150 pounds from the ages of 12 to 28 when I finally got off the yo-yo dieting train. Well, if I had known of Dr. Aplin and MyOptimalBody.com, my life would have been a lot easier, and I would have resolved my weight issues without doing drugs like Ozempic. fine if you're on them, but if they're not working for you or you don't want to try them, myoptimalbody.com has incredible success rates. Go to their website, check out their reviews, and see people who have had lasting weight loss change. Visit myoptimalbody.com to request an appointment. Be sure to let them know that the Sarah Fraser Show sent you so you can qualify for a free personalized assessment plus a free 30-day supply of their gut repair product when you sign up for their customized plan. Again, that's myoptimalbody.com. To request an appointment. Go there now and let me know what you think. Are you trying to conceive? Have you tried a lot of things, don't know a reliable supplement to take? Well, I'm introducing you to EU Natural. It's spelled EU Natural. They're on Amazon, and they have a conception for her formula and a conception for him, which, by the way, has over 23,000 five-star reviews on Amazon, and now I'm taking it. Very easy to take because, you know, sometimes multivitamins are tough. Well, this one is awesome, has a great vanilla flavor. I take it with food. And right now, when you go to Amazon and you buy any EU Natural product or their bundle, put in the code FRASER20, get 20% off. I'm so excited for you guys to be on this journey with me to conceive, and this can give you the extra boost that you need. So order right now. Check out EU Natural on Amazon and use code FRASER20 to get 20% off their conception bundle or your entire order. That's EU Natural on Amazon, or follow the link on our website for 20% off the conception bundle with the promo code FRASER, FRASER20, FRASER20. I'm on a customer service kick right now. Customer service means so much to me, and Uplift Desk has a 4.9 Google rating on their customer service and thousands of five-star reviews. Oh my God, sign me up. Actually, I already own their stuff, so I'm here. Go to upliftdesk.com and use the promo code TSFS right now to save 5% off your entire order. This company is so customer service based. You can do everything by customizing the color, the type of top material you want for your desk. Schman has their standing desk, and I have their ergonomic Invoke chair, which I love. My foot pain has gone away. My back pain has gone away from using their products. Go and check them out. If you've never heard of them, you're about to fall in love. Go to upliftdesk.com and use the promo code TSFS for 5% off your order. That's upliftdesk.com to get 5% off your entire order with the promo code TSFS. Quick pause to thank a few of our sponsors. Hello, ZocDoc. I love me some ZocDoc. Have you heard of the free app that helps you find all kinds of doctors in your area, some with appointments as soon as today? ZocDoc is pretty incredible. Quality doctors, well, no one knows what they're looking for in a doctor better than you. And no one's better at giving you the tools to find the perfect doctor than ZocDoc. The people who created ZocDoc found major pain points in healthcare, all the things that weren't working, and said enough. And then they made booking a doctor surprisingly pain-free. ZocDoc is a free app that shows you doctors who are patient-reviewed, take your insurance, and are available when you need them. Go to ZocDoc.com/TSFS and download the ZocDoc app for free. Please use my code. I've been using ZocDoc. I had a listener, Katie, she emailed me in Virginia. She just found a doctor for herself. You can find any doctor from a pediatrician, podiatrist, whatever you need. Then start your search for a top-rated doctor today. Many are available within 24 hours. That's ZocDoc.com/TSFS. ZocDoc.com/TSFS. I've been using them. I found doctors here in LA. They are nationwide, and you're going to love how easy it is. So use my code ZocDoc.com/TSFS. Dame! We all need some hot sex toys in our life. Why not Dame? Love me some Dame. They're absolutely amazing, and you guys are loving their products. If you haven't heard of them, take a moment today. Go to dameproducts.com. Use my code TSFS for 15% off your order. Dame products are designed. Its hand-free toy, Ava, which is specifically for couples, nestles close to the body and stays with you with just a finger, so you can use it on your partner, focus on intimacy. It's designed to enhance and not distract from pleasure. Ava is your sex life's new best friend. Not only that, they have amazing products that you are going to love. Go and explore Dame products and use my code TSFS. DameProducts.com. Use code TSFS at checkout to get 15% off your order. Storyworth. Oh my God, I love this company. Talk about preserving great memories. I always want to call them story worthy, but It is. It, I mean, your stories are worthy. So I've got something there, but it's story worth. Father's Day is around the corner. How about giving your dad a terrific gift or the father figure in your life that you could connect and share memories. Let's not get married. Let's share memories. For years to come. Storyworth emails your dad a thought-provoking question every single week and then asks for a prompt to answer that question. So like, what's one of your fondest childhood memories, or what was something you feared in your life? And then after a year, Storyworth compiles all those questions and stories, including photos, into a beautiful keepsake book the whole family can share for generations. Hello, love that. My father passed away when I was in high school, so I never got the chance to do something like this. But life is fragile, and take moments like this, collect them so you, your kids, for generations have it to come. Give all the fathers in your life a meaningful gift you can both cherish for years to come, Storyworth. Right now, for a limited time, you can save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/TSFS. That's storyworth.com/TSFS to save $10 on your first purchase. Storyworth.com/TSFS.
Just had developed such a weird relationship with food from doing so many crash diets. Like, you know, I went on Atkins and lost 20 pounds. And then Atkins literally gave me like stomach ulcers because you're not having carbs or anything to digest these fatty foods that you're eating. And I would have like caffeine on an empty stomach. And then literally ever since I went on Atkins, I've had like an acid reflux problem. Like it literally messed up my system. So like, those of you that are doing like keto and Atkins and think it's like the end all be all, like there are health risks involved. And then I did like Noom, which was like the calorie counting app. And now I look at everything in calories. So I like look at an egg and be like, that's 80 calories. I'll look at a piece of cheese and be like, that's 120. And it just was this, it's this toxic cycle that I'm still battling today where because I did so many restrictive diets, I'm really trying to do what you did, which is to find peace. So I'm not being restrictive. So yeah, it's evolving. Like I would say I'm not the most confident I've ever been in with my, like the way I look, but I'm try every day to like combat that and just be happy.
Yeah. It's so hard. I mean, for years, every day, like all I did was get up and think about calories in and calories out and when I was going to work out. And if I didn't have an hour to work out, it wasn't enough. And oh my God, I mean, I can relate. And I know so many women listening to this episode can, because it's one of the things when I talk about it, I get the most response because people, you know, drugs or alcohol, you don't need drugs or alcohol to live, but like you have to have food. And so it's like, you have to find this healthy relationship with food and also being in the entertainment, like the public. It's really tough.
Don't you feel like now that you're aware of like unhealthy language around food and diet culture that you realize how toxic all of us are? Like now that I'm like aware of these things, when I'm out to dinner with friends or family, I notice how they're like, oh, I'm gonna have that, but like I can't have the fries today, or like, oh, like I'm vegetarian this month, or I'm like, everyone's so aware and everyone is restricting themselves in some capacity.
Yeah.
At all times. And I'm just like, holy shit, like we all like have this mentality because it's just been hammered into our head. Like there's very few people that just like eat freely without looking at food as like good items or bad items.
And we live in a society of improvement, right? I mean, and it's like, even if you're skinny, then it's like anti-aging, you know? It's like you have to do things.
Or you're too skinny.
Or you're too skinny, you know? And yeah, I mean, we are constantly in a society, right? Where all we do is buy products to look better, you know? And it's I'm guilty of it too.
I was thinking about this with Khloe Kardashian and Kim Kardashian lately because obviously Khloe's so thin and fit and Kim, since the Marilyn Monroe dress, has been like the thinnest. And like I just look at them and I'm like, oh, they're beautiful. But I was with someone and they were like, Kim looks amazing, but she's like a little too skinny now. And in my head, I was like, how could anyone win?
Like, you can't, right?
You're too fat. You're too big. Now you're too skinny. Your butt's too big. Now she got her implants out. Now she got this. It's like, why can't we just exist without people like criticizing every little thing? And like, I'm super aware of it now. So like, when I look at people's bodies, like, I don't try to talk like that because it's so freaking toxic.
How? Okay, so tell me about, like, you have great guests on your show. Leah McSweeney, you know, former Real Housewives of New York. Hannah Berner, the very famous comedian. You know, what's your relationship with pop culture now? You obviously love the Kardashians, but do you still enjoy talking about it? Or now with this kind of whole next step in your career, what do you want to talk about?
No, I mean, I love it. I am a pop culture girl. Like, I eat, sleep, breathe it. Like, I grew up watching The Real World instead of watching, like, Nickelodeon. So for me, I think the thing is, you know, when you make your hobby your job, you don't like it as much. I think when I was being forced to talk about it, I didn't want to. Whereas now what I do is my podcast is segmented. So I open up and I catch everyone up to date on, like, what's been going on in my life. Like, this week I told a story about how I wore a panty liner in a pool this past weekend. And when I went to the bathroom, it was nowhere to be found. And I'm pretty sure it's floating around in the pool. Like, I have no idea.
Oh my God, that would happen to me too. Like, I mean, literally just someone would come up from a dive and then their face would be in my panty liner.
So that's me. So I start my podcast by, like, catching people up in my personal life. Like, what's going on? Any stories, anything that happened, trips I've booked, friends I'm beefing with, whatever it is. And then I interview someone. So sometimes that's a pop culture person. Like, next week I'm doing Dolores from Real Housewives of New Jersey. And then sometimes it's like, I just had some girl, her name is Jen Curley, on from TikTok. Her handle's Snack Queen. And we talk about eating disorders the whole time. So, like, it doesn't – I've had on doctors. I've had on psychics. I've had the gamut. Like, my whole podcast concept is literally – I try to think of it through the lens of, like, what do I want to listen to as a listener?
Yeah.
Like, what are my interests? And then I have those kinds of conversations. So, 2 weeks ago, it was like I had someone on to talk about female hormones and cycle syncing. And then I'll have on someone from Bravo. So I'll do the guest interview, and then I do an advice segment called Ask Alyssa. And then my final segment is Spill the Tea, where that's where we, like, dive into, like, the Kravis wedding, like, Mormon swinger TikTok. Like, we get into, like, the juice of, like, what's going on in pop culture.
Tell me, how do you think the Kardashians are doing on Hulu? I have to say, I've been experiencing Kardashian burnout. I love them. I love everything about them. But I don't know. When was it? Maybe like a year ago, I guess. And I do a lot on reviews on TLC shows. Like, I'm obsessed with, like, I Love a Mama's Boy and 90 Day Fiancé. So I guess I've just, and now I have a child, which I know you're an auntie. So we'll talk about that. But so I'm kind of just, like, figuring my time, like, what I want to spend my time on. So I haven't watched the Kardashians on Hulu. Do you think that it's as good as it was when it was on E?
Oh, it's 10 times better.
Really? Yeah. Oh, well, now I might have to watch. Okay, why? Why?
It's less gimmicky. Like, they're not like, we're going to toilet paper Chris's house today and play a prank and go ghost hunting. It's like, okay, Kim is working on prison reform, so we're going to focus on someone that she's trying to exonerate from prison this episode. And then the next episode, like, Courtney's 40-something and wants a kid, so we're going to focus on her fertility journey. It's like they take one topic and they focus on that versus these, like, family skits. It's kind of more like docuseries style. It feels a lot more, like, real and less kind of, like, produced.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, that was kind of by the end of it on E. It was like, I agree with you. It was so stupid. Like, them, whatever, toilet paper.
Come on.
I know.
Yeah.
It was so dumb. What are your go-to favorite reality shows?
Okay. So what I talk about is different than what I love maybe I should talk about what I love more. But whenever I talk about the shit I love, everyone's like, we don't watch that. It's like, don't you feel like the people that watch, like, TLC shows and MTV shows, they're like niche. Like,
very niche.
It's very niche. It's more like, quote unquote, popular to talk about Bravo and the Kardashians than it is to talk about whatever the Mama's Boy show that you're talking about. So what I love is The Challenge, obsessed on MTV. I've watched it forever.
Okay.
But I'll talk about it, like, here and there. When I do, there's certain people that love it. But if I just did, like, if I had a cast member on and just had someone from that show, like, I wouldn't get that many listens because my audience just doesn't care as much as me.
Yeah. I know what you're saying. Yeah.
So I get my fix by listening to, like, Challenge podcasts. And then I love, what else do I love on MTV? Oh, I watch Siesta Key. I'm trying to think what else I watch on MTV that's like good. I watch Big Brother, Survivor. Like,
do you? You're a Survivor fan too. My husband loves Survivor. I'm like, why are you watching this? And I think it's like the longest.
Like, this year. Like, it's not. So oh, it's what new. Happened okay. was, because I love the challenge, they started widening their casting net and casting people from other reality shows. And like, my favorite reality show of all time is Love Island UK. And that I do talk about because I just want to force it down everyone's throats. So like, everyone in the world watches Love Island UK because it's the best show on television. So no, like it is. So I started watching Love Island UK and I've always loved the challenge. What happened was the challenge started casting people from other shows and other networks. So they started casting people from Love Island UK, from Love Island US, mm-hmm. from Big Brother, from Survivor. So what happened was, because I love the challenge so much, I would go watch the seasons that they were on these other shows. So that's what brought me to Big Brother. That's what brought me to Survivor. Because I'm like, I need to know their backstory. So now I'm like this huge like CBS fan. And I'm like, how did I even get here so late in life?
No, I can relate. I mean, I can relate. And you and I watch Married at First Sight, which I'm also obsessed with. I know. And yeah. I was saying to you, I watched all the way till the end. And then I didn't know which couples were together or not. And then you were filling
you know what's
me in.
So weird. I kind of gave up too. It got really boring.
Yeah.
And then I just fast forward. I read the spoilers and then I just fast forwarded to like the decision day to see what they said.
Me too. And you clued me in that Steve and Noi are still together, which I'm blown mm-hmm. away because I couldn't stand like how, you know, she was after him all the time to have like a traditional job. And then I kind of wanted Lindsay and Mark to work. I don't know.
Same, but at the reunion, which I did watch because I wanted the tea, they basically, it showed her in a very different light. Because part of me was like, okay, like she's a lot, but she's so loving. So like put up with it. And then at the reunion, I think he had said stuff and I don't want to like misquote, but he had said that she had called him like a lowlife, you know, like a scumbag. Like she was like very verbally gross towards him. And just like, she seemed really arrogant. Like she was like, yeah, I moved to California because like, it's just much more my intellectually my speed.
Okay.
Like she was just so condescending and like basically kept saying like he was 0% intellectual, which is just such a slap in the face, even if it's true. You don't say it. Yeah. Like, come on. Like no. It was just a lot. So I was like, okay, she sounds like a handful.
Yeah. I she was. I mean, it was like, I felt like they were such a good pair at first.
I get it.
You know, anyway. Yeah. Well, first of all, you became an auntie for the first time. You have a sister. You feature your family on your show. Your dad is hot. I love like the video. He's so cute.
People always comment that. And I'm like, stop, guys. You're gross. Embarrassing me.
Okay. Tell me about your parents. Are they in the entertainment business? Were they like in media?
Oh my God. No, I'm like from this traditional like Italian family who if you told them 15 years ago I'd be like talking about therapy online, they'd probably die. Like sure. But now they're so used to me that they literally don't care. They hardly listen. They don't care what I say. Like they I think have enough trust in me that I'm not gonna like ruin the family at this point. Yeah. So they just like let me go wild. But in the beginning my mom would call me after every episode and be like, it was really good but you cursed too much.
Yes,
like, mom. You know, and now they're just like, whatever. Like, they don't care. And they really support me. Like, the first thing when I called them and told them that everything happened with Barstool, they were like, they literally didn't flinch. Like, my mom was like, all right, well, I believe in you. And, like, I think this next chapter is even better. Like, they literally didn't even bat an eye. So I was like, okay. Like,
yeah, if they're good with it, yeah, you know it's the right decision, you know?
Well, it took them a few years to get what I do. And now that they see I can make money and that I do it, they just trust that I'm doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's so new, right? This whole era of influencer. And I'm actually curious, like, what you think is going to be the next evolution? Because we hear from people all the time, like, the fat Jewish was famous for always saying this, like, the influencer is dying. I mean, do you think that's true? Do you think that?
No.
You don't?
Okay. Emma Chamberlain, much younger than us. She's like the Gen Z Oprah. She, oh my God, that's like such a compliment. She, but she is. They love her. Like what Emma Chamberlain says is gospel. She just went on like a podcast rant, 2 episodes long, about how everyone's influencers and influencers are dying because everyone is one. And like, I love her and I've always agreed with everything she says, except this. Okay. It might feel like everyone is influencers in her world because she lives in LA, but like, think about your friends. If you have 10 friends, maybe one of them has a small social following. Like, you don't walk around the street with like influencers like crawling out of everywhere. Like, I think she made it sound like too many people are doing this, and not everyone wants to. And I think we're billboards. Like, it's just a new form of marketing and it's not going away. People said that when Twitter happened, then Facebook, then Instagram, and then look, TikTok literally came out of thin air.
Oh, like, I love
it's
TikTok.
It's never going to go away. Like, it's just, there'll be a new thing.
Yeah. No, it's so true. That's such a great way to put it. And it's hard. You know, it is hard to get a following. Even now on TikTok, like,
oh, yeah.
Even TikTok's algorithm is changing all the time. So it's very difficult to, like, gain a following. So it's like, if you have that, it's something very valuable that you have.
Yeah, it's tough because, like, I grew, like, 250,000 followers in, like, a month. And then I haven't grown. I've only grew 60,000 in a year.
Yeah.
60,000 is still so much. But my point is, a month versus a year, like, things definitely have slowed. And then you have people like Emily Mariko, who like makes salmon on TikTok and gets 8 million followers in a month. So you just never know. You just got to be yourself. And if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But yeah. I think there's always going to be room for everyone. And there's so many people now that we see, like the people that did become really famous on TikTok during quarantine aren't really TikTokers. Like Addison Rae, Dixie D'Amelio, Charlie, like they're household names now. They're not just, they don't hardly even post on the app. They've like ricocheted it into so many other things.
Alyssa, this has been so great. I'm curious, like, what you're, I know you're kind of feeling out all these different opportunities that are coming your way, but what do you feel like is your next step? Like, where are we going to see you next?
So my goal is, okay, so always do the podcast. Like, I love doing it. I love my community. But what I love most about the podcast is my live shows because I get to meet everybody.
Yes.
And like, that to me, and more so than me meeting them, they meet each other. And like, that means the world to me because I just love, I'm such a connector. Like, I love connecting people. So for me to like host these events and have everyone meet, I hope to do more of those. Like, I'd love to go on a like little mini tour, nothing wild. So more of that, more events, like I said, bringing people together. And I really want to start going back on TV because during the pandemic, I was doing a lot of segments with the Today Show and I've done some stuff with Amazon Fashion. And what I really want to do, my biggest goal is to get on E! News, even if it's for one segment once in my life.
Please, I hope they hire you. Like E! Needs, you know what I mean? I don't know what it is. Like, I'm just praying for like a great show, a great stand. You know what I mean? I miss the Juliana Rancic days.
Yes.
I know. I miss, and of course, you know, Joan was like irreplaceable, but I miss the old school Fashion Police so much. I mean, that was like the network. You know, you had to
best.
Be watching E! And it's struggled so much in the past couple of years. It's so
hard. I know. So even just to do anything in any capacity with them is next on my list. And writing a book or two. So those are just the things I want to do.
I'm with you. I'm obsessed with television. And I love to see like what works and what doesn't work. And as you know, there's so many TV options, right? What do you think is missing at E? Like if they were like, okay, Alyssa, because you know you're going to manifest this. They're going to be calling. What do you think is like... What's missing on E? What does E need?
What I was thinking recently was like during the Met Gala, I was live covering what everyone was wearing and I was putting it out quicker than E. And people were coming to my page. I got like 6 million views that night and people were coming to my page saying, you put this out quicker than E. And then E cut the feeds before we even got to see Kim in her dress. I kind of feel like they need a correspondent on social media, on the ground, dropping everything because like, think about it, like articles while you could like pre-plan them all you want, they still take time to publish and get out there. And TV's on a delay. So like, I feel like they need like an on the ground person that has like the inside look before the other news outlets get it.
Yes. Oh my God. Okay. That just gave me a little bit of goosebumps. Like that might be for you. That
clip
is like,
this. Clip this and we'll tag that.
Okay. I am so glad we could sit down and do this. I do. I want to just ask you really quickly, what is your manifesting secret? Do you, is there something you do? I heard a podcast. I don't know if you were journal. I think it was an app that you had. Didn't it like you write something and then it disappeared or something?
Oh my God. You talking about the Indian psychic in Paris?
No. No, but now I want to hear about that. Tell me about that. Okay, maybe we got to go to Paris to this Indian psychic.
Okay, I was in Paris last month. Long story short, I had just bought myself a Chanel bag, which was like my dream purchase, of those like life achievements where I was like, when I'm successful, like I will buy a Chanel bag.
Big girl bag, so, yes.
It was more about the meaning of it than the actual bag. So I'm like elated. I'm like walking through Paris alone. And this man comes up to me and he was like, you have a very lucky face. Good things are coming. And he just starts talking to me. So I like pause and he wasn't scary. Like he was very young, dressed well. And he just started asking me questions and he pulled out a notebook and he was like, how old are you? And no, what did he say? He was like, what's your favorite flowers? And I said, wait, let me go back. He jotted stuff down on a paper, crumbled it up and handed it to me. So I'm holding this paper in my hand. And then he started asking me questions. He said, how old are you? I said, 31. He said, what's your favorite flowers? I said, peonies. He said, what do you want out of life? Do you want success? Do you want fortune? Do you want love? And I was like, well, I feel like I'm
all
like,
of have them.
Success. And I'm like, yeah, I will have fortune. Like, so what I'm missing is love. So he wrote love. And then he wrote, think of a number, any number. And I was like, between 100. He's like, no, any number. So I'm like, okay, 21. He writes it down. And then he's like telling me all these things like, your greatest joy is coming. These next 3 months are going to be huge for you. You have this opportunity coming, blah, blah, blah. Giving me this whole reading. And at the end of it, he goes, now open the piece of paper in your hand. And when I opened it, it was what he'd written down before he asked me any questions. And it said, peonies 3121 love.
What? Okay, that's like, all right, I actually might have gone and seen that one. What?
Like, I have it framed over there.
I don't blame you. Wait, he just came up to you on the street? That's kind of wild.
And I was sobbing. And my friend, I was supposed to meet my friend for dinner and she texts me, where are you? And I said, BRB with an Indian man sobbing on the street. And she's like, what? Like, where are you? Like, and then finally I show up to dinner and I was like so shook. I couldn't even speak. I was like, I just don't even know what to tell you. So anyway, long story short, when you're open to signs, like I truly believe they come to you. And like, I had interviewed the psychic and right before like my job shit kind of hit the fan, she texted me 3 weeks before and was like, hey, Alyssa, I've been thinking about you. You're not making enough passive income. We should chat. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I have all these signs coming to me and like these people reaching out to me because when you're open to it, like these things come. So I think that's why I feel so at peace right now, because like two psychics have both separately told me these next 3 months are going to be amazing. So I'm just like,
you're resting in that. You're like, fuck it. It's all going to be good. I'm all good.
So like, I think with manifesting, and one, it's like a willingness and being open. And two, it's about, I don't think manifesting is just being like, I want to own a Range Rover one day. It's like, okay, I want to own a Range Rover, but how am I going to work my ass off so I have enough money so I could have one? So it's like, to me, it's wanting something and then taking action towards getting it.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think people miss that part. They feel like they can just like imagine something and it's going to happen. You don't have to put any work towards it. But it is like the power of thinking about it, setting a goal, working towards it, positive thinking. I mean, you have a great outlook. You can tell just by like this next chapter in your life and what happened with Barstool. You know, a lot of people would be so bitter and like not even ready to speak about it. But you can tell with you that you're like, no, it was what it was meant to do. I'm on to bigger things. I'm on to better things. We tried it. I mean, that's such a great attitude to have.
Well, because I really think, and if there's like one thing I could leave people with, it's like the more like self-work you do and the more you know yourself, like,
yeah,
I'm just really learning to trust my intuition. So like, I knew things weren't good. I knew something had to give. So when it gave, I was like, oh, thank God, I feel so much lighter. Like, yeah. If you're just, like, in tune with yourself, and, I kept getting intuitive thoughts and then questioning them. And then it was actually my therapist who said to me, she was like, you're having too many signs to ignore your intuition. Like, if you feel it, like, stop doubting it. You know the answer. So, like, you just have to really just, like, be sure of yourself and, like, what you know. And the more, like, awareness and assurance you have, I think it's like the more comfort you have, in a sense.
Totally.
It takes a while to get there, don't get me wrong.
It does, right? It takes some trial and error, and, you know, having faith and putting it out there. And anyway, you're amazing. I cannot wait to keep following. Tea with Publicity is the podcast where you can listen to Alyssa every single week. We're going to be following your journey for the next steps and seeing those decisions. And then it's Publicity on Instagram, right?
Yes. So if you guys haven't caught on, it's a play on words between publicist and Liss, my nickname. So it's PubliSSity.
Awesome. And on TikTok. Thank you so much, Alyssa. Amazing.
Thank you. You are fantastic.
Well, ditto.